Welcome to The Buzz, a podcast by Boone Electric Cooperative. The Buzz is a monthly message to our community, celebrating what it means to be a member owner of your local electric cooperative. Boone Electric Cooperative, your co-op, our community.
Hello and welcome to The Buzz. I'm Zach Smith, Communications Specialist here at Boone Electric Cooperative. And over these first few episodes of the podcast, we'll be talking about the seven cooperative principles, which are the guiding standard for cooperatives of all kinds and have been for almost 200 years. And we'll be joined throughout the show by members and employees of Boone Electric to share the real-world examples of how we practice these principles today, and more importantly, how they apply to you, our members. Joining us today is Boone Electric Cooperative CEO and General Manager, Todd Culley. Todd, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be here.
I know you were expecting to be on mic today, but you probably weren't expecting that we were going on a trip.
That would be correct.
We're going on a brief trip through time, that is, back to the year 1844 and the place, Rochdale, England. Did I say that right?
I've seen it both ways. I've actually seen it as a Rochdale.
Rochdale. Also. Mm-hmm. That's often the example people give when they talk about the first cooperative. So why is that?
It was at a time when the Industrial Revolution was getting started, and a lot of the workers were displaced because their skill sets were being replaced by, you know, mechanization. And so they found that they had a lot of needs that needed to be addressed, and they could collectively organize their efforts and meet some of the basic services that they needed at the time, and were able to do it, of course, at a not-for-profit basis. And so that cooperative formed, and then they put together some principles that have worked very well over the decades. And so we see those same principles being used today.
That's kind of the root of the whole cooperative tree, right? They're co-ops for a lot of different industries and interests. Electric cooperatives are just one example. But we're all a common group of members who own the co-op.
Yes, that is correct, and there to serve a very basic need. And so when you go back in history there to Rochdale, when that cooperative was first formed, we had a lot of folks that were in poverty, and so that cooperative got together to help them with food and some materials. And so you got to think of just the basics like butter, sugar, flour, oatmeal. And then as time went on, it evolved and got a little fancier, so to say, and you started seeing tea and tobacco and other products there to support those needs that they have.
So we're talking about supporting needs. That's a good time to jump back in the time machine one more time and make a quick stop in 1936, but we're going to be a little bit closer to home because we're going to stop right here in Boone County. There's an important piece of co-op history to talk about there.
Boone actually was the first electric cooperative formed in the state of Missouri. And there are other cooperatives. I think we had one up north. Maybe it was Lewis County that might have had the first member that was energized. And others would say, well, we were the first to put a pole in the ground. And another would say, well, we're the first to incorporate, versus another might say, we were first to receive a loan from the Rural Electric Administration. But here in Boone County, yes, we had a large area in the rural area that had no electricity, and it was a big concern. There was a lot of disparity, and even quality of life wasn't as good. The lifespan of the average American in the rural area was up to 10 years shorter than what it was in the urban areas, and so our government recognized that need, much like it happened, you know, years ago in Rochdale, and said, we've got to find a way to work together with cooperative principles to improve the quality of life there in rural America. And that mission is still very much alive with us today.
Yeah, you mentioned all those various firsts that the electric cooperative industry experienced. And most of the co-ops that still exist today were part of that big wave in the 30s and 40s that were all spurred by that movement. You mentioned the Rural Electric Administration.
You got to think about what was happening in the 1930s, and we had, of course, what we call now the Great Depression. Yeah, we had massive amount of unemployment. One in four Americans were unemployed. You had the banking system collapse. You know, there were other issues in many sectors within our economy. And so they formed what they called the New Deal under Franklin Roosevelt. And this New Deal basically created a lot of institutions that service today. There were up to almost 70 institutions established. So think of the FDIC that protects banking. Think of, you know, the FHA, the Federal Crop Insurance Program, the Civilian Conservation Corps, Social Security Administration, and then, of course, the Rural Electric Administration that we're a part of. So massive needs in the economy, and so FDR and Congress was very united and worked very cooperatively together, and they recognized that if we use those old cooperative principles, we can meet a lot of those concerns. And so that's what you saw happen. We all organized around 1935, 1936, and here we are 85 years later.
It's pretty impressive. It says a lot about the needs that you were mentioning earlier, you know, in the 1930s, electricity became one of those basic needs.
Yeah, absolutely. You think about what one motor can do to help you if you're out on a farm in the 30s, 40s, 50s. You know, what does a one light bulb allow you to do? It changes your whole day. You can light your house in the evening. You can begin to cook in the evening when it's after dark. So it gives you more time for work outside. You get away from the candles and the smoke and some of that. And the refrigeration that electricity provides is just amazing. It's good for, you know, of course, vaccine preservation. And it just helps overall general health. And again, you know, today more than ever, I would argue that it's the most essential of the essential services, that being electricity.
You touched on a great word right there, essential, because we're talking about all this stuff that happened in the 1840s, 1930s, and we get to today. I guess the question is, why are we talking about all of this stuff that happened almost a century ago or two centuries ago? Why does all of that stuff matter, and why should it still matter, especially to co-op members today?
Sure. So in today's world, you can look at several different perspectives. One is the cooperative operates at an at-cost basis. We are not profit-centered. And so we do our best to hold down our rates, hold down our expenses. If we do make any margin, then we return that to those that we serve. So now more than ever, there's so much cost pressure out there, especially over these recent last few years. And so that at-cost service perspective that we have is necessary to help our members. And so we take that part of it very seriously. On the operational side, today more than ever, mobility is so important for our members. And mobility, whether it's transportation, and of course we're seeing more and more electric vehicles, but you know, to pump gasoline requires reliable power. And so, you know, traffic control, et cetera, you know, that mobility is just so important, especially in rural America. And then being connected is more and more important. And we're seeing that through a lot of high-speed internet being offered all over rural America. And we try to do our best here to work with the incumbent providers there to provide that service. But all of that runs on a platform of electricity, too. And so we're seeing more and more data centers to support the extension of broadband in the rural areas. And these data centers are massive consumers of electricity. And so this connectedness, the mobility, day-to-day life today is probably even more dependent on electricity than ever before. Whereas in the past, people knew how to work without electricity. And today we're probably pretty dependent.
Yeah. We always use the example of taking the light switch for granted, but everything that you just mentioned, like you said, is all built on having a reliable network of electricity available all the time.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, it's that invisible thing behind the curtain.
Right. Yeah.
But it's like the lubrication that the economy runs on, or that basic platform. And I'd argue now more than ever, it's important for us to maintain that reliable energy source and then do it as affordably as possible.
Well, I appreciate your perspective on that, Todd, and I'm sure reliability is going to be a big topic as we take listeners through the seven cooperative principles and beyond that. We talk about the seven cooperative principles as sort of co-op 101 in the industry, but the history of those principles and how especially electric cooperatives were formed is more like co-op one class, so to speak.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it would have been interesting to see the original founders of how they put together that first cooperative. And I think they tried to play nice together, be fair, do what they thought was the right thing. And they probably over time vetted out different principles to see how they would work. You know, the cooperative philosophy is actually very popular. We see it. It's very pervasive across corporate America. There are 40,000 cooperatives in the United States, and they serve today over 350 million members. So what that means is, as a citizen, you may be a member of two or three or four different co-ops, or you do business with them without realizing that they are, in fact, a cooperative. And so if you think of, like, locally here, when we had State Farm Insurance, they're organized as a cooperative. And you think of Land O'Lakes, and we see a lot of their products out there in the food industry. Cenex Harvest States, or CHS, they're in fuel and also in fertilizer, I believe, big in the ag side of things. Also Ace Hardware. They're in Northwestern Mutual Insurance Company, I believe, also is operating as a cooperative. So there are many cooperatives out there that serve us well, and I'm glad to see that the decisions made in the 30s by our own government helped us to be able to provide, on a not-for-profit basis, electricity in rural America.
I'm glad that you mentioned those companies as examples of cooperatives that we may not think of as cooperatives. And hopefully, as we continue the podcast, we'll be able to educate people a little bit more on the difference between how a cooperative does things versus how a for-profit model business does things.
You can see right away they'll have kind of different missions on or different ways of accomplishing their mission, since they have kind of a different feel. And there's a place for all of them. But I'd argue that it's just hard to beat the cooperative movement overall. And you go home at the end of the day feeling like you're doing the best you can and you're meeting an essential need in a way that is as kind as possible to those you serve.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Todd. And thank you to those of you listening for joining us here on The Buzz. Be sure to tune in next month. And until then, see you somewhere down the line.
Thank you for tuning in to The Buzz, a podcast by Boone Electric Cooperative. To subscribe or for more information, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and LinkedIn. And of course, you can always visit us 24/7 at booneelectric.coop. Boone Electric Cooperative, your co-op, our community.